When you have an opportunity to hear the Word of God, how do you react to that? When you have an opportunity to listen to the Let the Bible Speak program, when you maybe see a Bible laying on the table and you pick it up and do some reading, or you hear somebody preaching the gospel on the radio or some other place on the TV, how do you react to that message that is coming from God's Word? And even God's Word itself, such as picking up a Bible and reading it. What's your reaction? What's your attitude toward that? This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about the part of the parable of the sower that we've been discussing over the past couple of weeks, and we want to continue doing that. The part of the sower that deals with the hearer, our attitude in hearing the Word of God. And in the parable of the sower, there are four different soils representing four different hearts that have different reactions toward the Word of God. And we're going to take two of them this morning on the program. I'm glad that you've joined us. I appreciate you doing that. And we're going to look at people who are hardened and people who are shallow-hearted. Hardened-hearted people and shallow-hearted people. Just take the program this morning. I'm glad that you continue to listen. I don't know about everybody in Clarksville and the surrounding area, but I would guess maybe, I would hope it wouldn't be the case, but it might be the case that when the country music stops playing and somebody hears, well, there's a religious program coming on, I'm going to turn it off for a while, I'm going to change the channel. It's very possible that somebody could do that, and they just don't want to hear the Word of God. And I'm glad that you've continued listening. I'm glad you have that good attitude, but some people don't. And Jesus actually dealt with attitudes toward hearing the Word of God. And we want to learn from that today. Now, just to refresh our memory, let's read the parable of the sower again. And then let's talk about two of these soils. I'm reading from Luke's account in Luke chapter 8. Of course, Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4 also talk about the parable of the sower. We're focusing in this morning on Luke's account. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, Luke records these words, actions and words of Jesus. And when a great multitude came together and they of every city resorted unto him, he spake a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of heaven devoured it. Another fell on the rock, and as it soon grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And other fell into the good ground, and grew and brought forth 100-fold. And he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as have an honest and good heart, and having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. And so today, and Lord willing next week, we're going to focus on these four soils and these four different types of individuals who have heard the word. I want you to notice that all four of them heard the word. It's what happens after that that is different among them. excuse me. And so you can hear the word of God, but what are you going to do with it after that? And so this morning, let's look at the first two of these four soils, the wayside soil and the rocky soil. First of all, we mentioned before that a sower at this time, a farmer that sowed seed, would have a bag over his shoulder with seed in it, wheat seed, corn, some sort of grain, throwing it out on the ground, and he would dip into the bag and grab a handful and broadcast it with his hand, throw it with his hand, and so that seed is falling on different kinds of soil as he walks along in any given area. And so some seed is going to fall on the wayside soil. The wayside soil is going to be any soil that has been hardened or packed down, often by walking on it, where somebody has been walking, some seed falls in that area, and it doesn't penetrate the dirt. It lies on the surface, and it cannot penetrate because the soil is hardened. And so the birds come and take it away. It's laying right there on top of the earth. And Jesus goes on to explain in verse 12 that these are individuals who have heard the word of God, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. So hearing is not enough. You still need to believe that word and be saved. And so an active hearing, an active belief and faith that leads one, as Jesus will say in the Great Commission, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the person hears the word and then that's it. The devil comes and takes that away. And so the key lesson then is that some people can hear the word of God, but not allow it to penetrate into their heart and mind. Their mind is shut. Their heart is hardened. And so it's easy, just like a bird to come and get some seed on the top of the ground, it's easy for the devil to take that away. This person is not going to hear, believe, understand, obey. It's just not going to get down in to the heart of the individual. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the heart of a person that is hardened and different things that can harden them. Different things that can harden a person's heart. Not an exhaustive list, but several that come to my mind that are very common. First of all, one thing that comes to my mind is the idea of this mental arrogance or pride. I'm mindful of Pharaoh, Exodus 8:32, who hardened his heart. He was proud. He did not want to submit to Almighty God. He, as Pharaoh of Egypt, he was recognized as a god himself. He's not going to listen to the one true God. Belshazzar in Daniel 5:20, other places, individuals had pride and hardened hearts as a result of that. And so we don't think we need to listen to the Bible. That can certainly be something that would harden us. Pride. Willful disobedience. Ezekiel is described as the son of man, and he was sent to his people to preach and teach to them and get them out of their sin, even after going into the Babylonian captivity. And God said, I'm sending you to a people who have a hardened heart, hard like stone, and they will not obey. And notice, God knew that in advance, but he gave them more opportunity. God is very gracious. But Ezekiel knew in advance that he was going to people who had a hardened heart, and he was to be even more adamant than they were. He was to go against people who are hard, and he has to be firm in the preaching of the Word of God. Willful disobedience can harden a person, and the Word of God is not going to enter in. Disinterest. People who don't care one way or the other about anything. Sometimes Paul, when he was preaching the gospel in the book of Acts, we find that he would run into individuals from time to time who just didn't care one way or the other. And I think about when he was in Corinth and he was taken before the judgment seat of Gallio, the proconsul, and Luke records that Gallio cared for none of these things. He wasn't going to come to Paul's aid. He wasn't going to be opposed to Paul. And he wants to kind of play this neutral, I don't really want to get involved attitude. And there are people who will not allow the Word of God to enter into their heart because they're just disinterested. The problem is, friends, there's a judgment day coming, and it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And you and I and all of us need to wake up and get interested in spiritual things. We need to take care of our health, and we need to take care of other things in this life. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to put a priority on taking care of our soul and getting it right with God. But some people are just disinterested. Some people are hardened through human tradition. This is the way something has always been done. And many of the Jews had hardened hearts. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14. Hardened just simply because this is the way something was always done, and they were not willing to accept the new gospel that would come through Jesus Christ. Other people are hardened by a life of sin. And they've engaged in their sin for so long that they don't want to make changes. I'm mindful of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Paul talks about the Gentile world of his day, darkened in their understanding. By the way, these same things are still going on today, some 2,000 years later. Darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Hardness of heart because of this walking in vanity and darkness and lasciviousness, this sinful life. And so there were some that Paul tried to talk to, and they just mocked, "I'm not going to change my way." A life of sin will harden. We talk about a hardened criminal. We talk about repeat offenders and people who just go right back to doing, breaking the law right after getting out of jail again. They break the law and get put right back in. They're hardened. Others are hardened by human philosophy, and it deceives. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it misleads and deceives people, and it's empty and it's vain. And they've been in that, they've gone down that path for so long. It could be the university, the PhD, the college professor, and they're so invested in their human wisdom and human ideologies that they mock the Bible and laugh at the Bible. They're certainly not going to let God's word into their life. Others are hardened by ignoring the conscience. And early on, their conscience told them that they needed to make some change. But every time you ignore your conscience, you harden it just a little bit more each and every time. And then you get to the point where you have a seared conscience. And Paul writes about that in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2, that individuals are going to fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. That goes on a lot today. Branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. When you're branded or seared, literally, you're not going to have feeling. And a brand, if a rancher brands his cattle, that is going to cause a hardened spot on the skin of that animal. And there's not much feeling there because the nerves have been burnt. There's not much feeling, and it's hardened. And that's what happens to the conscience when we ignore it over and over again. And then, of course, the Word of God is not going to sink in. So this wayside soil then represents a hard heart. But the good thing is, friends, not all is lost. The hard heart can be made soft again. In fact, by God's grace, that happens. When God spoke to Israel through Ezekiel, I mentioned him earlier, they were hardened back in Ezekiel 3. But by the time you get to Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, God promises to bring his people back after the Babylonian captivity. And from that time all the way up until the time of Jesus and the Messiah, he says, I'm going to take that stony heart that you have, and I'm going to put my spirit in you, his words into them, and that stony heart would become soft and fleshly again. And so a person who will allow God to work in their lives can change that hardened heart. And that is a beautiful thought. Let me read Ezekiel chapter 36 and this passage, this verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them. And so, if we will have a meek and humble attitude, if we receive the implanted word with meekness, James 1:21, that hardened heart can be soft. And so, a person can change. Well, let's look a little bit at the next soil that Jesus talks about, and that is this rocky or this stony soil. And whereas the wayside soil represented the hardened heart, the stony or rocky soil represents the shallow-hearted individual. You recall when Jesus told the parable, he said that some seed fell on the rock, and it, as soon as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. What we're talking about here is rocky soil that's not so much dirt with a bunch of separate rocks in it, but a small amount of dirt, a shallow amount of dirt on top of a layer of limestone underneath, or whatever stone there might have been in that particular area of Palestine. We're talking about a shallow amount of dirt that dirt does not hold much water or moisture. And so a seed will go down into a small amount of dirt and it'll spring up quickly, but the plant is going to wither away in the sun because there's no depth of soil. There's no root system. There's no moisture. And so when we're talking about the rocky soil, we're talking about soil with a little bit of dirt on the top and then a layer of rock below it. And so what you have then is this. Some people hear the gospel, and instead of being hardened and the seed doesn't get in, like we just talked about, they hear the gospel and they take it a step farther. They receive it immediately with joy. So they get a good start, but they have no lasting endurance. And the reason is they don't have any depth. The soil is shallow. It's on top of a lot of rock. And so the roots cannot get down deep. The plant does not have a deep root system. And so these people, and it's still today, it was in Jesus' day, it's still today, people have no depth of character. They have no depth of conviction. And so they hear the word of God, they receive it with joy, but they immediately fall away. So let's talk about now the shallow-hearted people. Are you like that? Am I like that? Somebody says, well, I'm not the type of person that is hardened, and that's great. But there's other kinds of people, and I see this a lot in my life, that are quickly excited about Bible matters, but they don't last very long. So let's talk about the shallow-hearted people. You know, some people are basing their life purely on emotional types of things. And there are some people who will convert to Christianity. They hear the gospel, they receive it with joy, but the way in which they went about that conversion makes them shallow. One example might be a purely emotional conversion where they just get caught up in the moment and something bad's been going on in their life and they're crying and they're sobbing and okay, I'll come to Christ, but they did not fully study things. They were not fully taught things. And so it becomes this shallow impulsiveness. I've known of some who have been baptized into Christ, and then you don't see them after that. Or I'll try to study with them, and it lasts maybe a week or two, and then, well, I don't want to come to church. Some are converted to some sort of social gospel. There was something, maybe they had friends that they wanted to be with, or maybe food was involved to get them to come, and something like that. And then when that wore off, they stopped serving Christ. Some were converted really more to a personality than to Jesus Christ himself. They liked a certain person that they were talking to, or maybe they liked the preacher, or maybe a friend invited them and they did it kind of for their friend. Some do it, oh, well, my parents are on me all the time about being baptized, so I'll get baptized. Some are converted from a family tradition, that they were in a particular denominational family tradition, and it was kind of like, well, if you want me to make a change, I will. And they do it just for that reason, but they haven't really learned the gospel. And others will become Christians in the right and proper way, but they lack growth and maturity afterwards. Individuals will not work with them. Nobody will work with the new converts. And so they just sort of fall through the cracks after a while. We've got to take a personal interest in them. It's very important. But all of this basically shows a person to be shallow-hearted. And we're going to be tested. In the parable of the sower, in verse 13, Jesus said, those that are on the rock, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So this is the specific thing that Jesus mentions. They don't have roots, they're not grounded, and so it's temptation. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 13:21 and in Mark 4:17, it's persecution and tribulation. Persecution, tribulation, temptation. Jesus mentions these external things that are going to cause a person to fall away. And by the way, notice that you can fall away. The Calvinist says, no, you can't fall away. Once you're saved, you're always saved. No. You can fall away. And the Calvinist says that there are some people who can't hear the Word of God. They've been predestined to be lost and damned. That's not the case, because every one of these soils, they heard the Word of God. And in this case, the person received the Word with joy, but then they fell away. So yes, you can fall from grace. But look at this external thing that did it, the persecution, the tribulation, the temptation, and there can be other things like that. So a person must be willing to stay with the Word of God and pass these tests, we must be willing to count the cost. And so when a person becomes a Christian, I try to talk with them to count the cost. And you're going to have to bear your cross daily. And you're going to have to put the Lord first, Luke 9, 57 through 62. And like the man building the tower who started and then couldn't finish, or the man who was going to go to war and then had to raise the white flag because he didn't have enough to win the war, Luke 14, 27 through 33, Jesus said that if you come follow me, you've got to count the cost. You've got to decide ahead of time, am I in this for the long haul and all the way through? And so I've got to be grounded, in other words. I can't be shallow. Friends, there is so much shallow-heartedness today. It's amazing. We've got to have greater depth to our conviction and our character. God's people need to be deeply rooted and grounded. We don't need to be superficial. We need to be rooted in love, Ephesians 3:17. We need to be rooted and grounded and built up in Christ, Colossians 2:6-7. We don't need to be superficial. We don't need to be a fair weather Christian. We don't need to be a bench warmer. We don't need to be a lukewarm Christian. We don't need to be in and out of the church. We don't need to be hot and cold. We don't need to have this superficial, shallow Christianity that gives up during a pandemic, that gives up at the slightest little inconvenience or problem. We need to have depth. More soil, more depth. We need to be like the man who built his house upon the rock. And in Luke's version, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 48, the text says he dug deep and laid a foundation. That is an excellent verse. Dig deep. You've got to get deeper than the temptation. You've got to get deeper than the pandemic, deeper than the work problems and the school problems and the community problems. You got to get deeper than that, so deep, so grounded that nothing is going to move you. And it's through teaching, teaching, teaching. We are rooted and grounded when we are taught the Word of God, built up and rooted and grounded, Ephesians 4:15, on the Word of God. Well, friends, thank you for listening. How do you hear the Word of God? When you hear the Word of God, what then do you do with it? Don't be hardened and don't be shallow. Thank you for being with us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.